we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, we come before you today, basking in the joy and light of Easter morning. Lord, in you all things are new, and all things have their being. Give us your grace at this time to internalize your word. Open the eyes of our hearts, and let us joyfully say, I have seen the Lord. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Shirley, I like your hat. Sorry about that. That's a fascinator. That looks great. As we wind down from the pandemic's intensity and begin learning again how to live with COVID, there is a four-letter word which we've always needed and never more so than now, and that word is hope. Yes, I know it can be elusive as we recover slowly from an emotionally exhausting period of anxiety and fear. Yet hope is always the most valuable reaction, and psychologists say it is crucial to our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Hope reduces feelings of helplessness. Hope increases happiness. Hope reduces stress and improves our quality of life. Hope doesn't make problems disappear. But it does remind us that eventually they will pass and better days are ahead. Hope brings us closer to God, but because without God, there is no hope. And when we hope for something, it becomes part of our lives. And as time goes by, the importance of hope only grows because it is a symbol of strength and courage. And it is what will get us through difficult times. And the most beautiful part about hope is that we can find hope in everything and anything because that is our guiding light, our hope, Jesus Christ. So today on Easter Sunday 2022, we have the hope of Jesus' resurrection, which informs the basis of our Christian faith. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope that death will finally be defeated. We have hope that we will finally be redeemed. We have hope that there's a new creation coming. And we have hope that everything that is wrong with this world will be made right. One commentary states that what happened at his resurrection was that Jesus, who was once limited by the space and time world in which he had chosen to enter, was limited no more. Now his glorified humanness continually radiates like the sun, which the early Christians used to symbolize his ever-loving presence. He radiates not so much light, but with love. But unlike the sun that only shines in the day, the love of Christ radiates day and night. For there is no time when his love cannot be received by those who say, I'm in. And that's why the first Christians would arise at midnight when it was believed that Jesus rose from the dead to meditate on his resurrection, on what it meant for them then. And what it means for us now. And John, in the first 9 verses of the gospel reading, records some different reactions that first Easter morning. Mary was the first at the grave. She arrives at the grave, and the first day of the week, it's still dark. She goes to the tomb, and what does she see? Stone is gone. And I'm thinking that would be a heavy stone. She arrives at the tomb and immediately sees that. I'm sure that that's not what she expected to see. What is she? She panics. And running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, wink, wink, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. A missing body can only mean one thing. the authorities have stolen the body. So why did Mary not look beyond a missing body to the miracle of the resurrection? She wasn't expecting a miracle. Like you and I, she did not expect God to display his glory. We don't expect miracles. We don't even look for heaven on earth. We can so easily lose hope and miss the miracles of God's work because we forget to always be expecting, believing, anticipating, and living in hope that God works in mighty, powerful, and exciting ways. We can sometimes not look at things with the eyes of faith. We can give 101 reasons why something cannot be done, and then come up with 101 ways it can go wrong. Jesus even speaks to Mary, but she can't hear it. She fails to recognize that familiar voice. She thinks he's the gardener. Not looking, not hearing, not hoping in the miracles that were surrounding her, God's glory shining. And yet she wasn't able to understand God love her. How many times have you and I missed God's glory and blessing by not seeing our lives with the eyes of faith? We can get comfortable with that saying, just give me the facts, ma'am. When Peter and John arrive on the scene, they see only the obvious, what's in front of them. Not what they expected to see. Two men, two disciples, two followers of the master, seeing the linen cloths, the stone rolled away, a slab of rock empty, and no body. I was thinking as Taras was reading the gospel, that the whole thing about the linen headcloth was neatly folded. I'm thinking his mother trained him well. See, they believed the body was gone, and knowing that, simply returned home. They went home. So what happened? John is pretty clear as to why they were unable to see the unexpected, to understand the miracle. This is what happens. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again. See, we have an advantage because we know how the story will end. We know that our Redeemer is alive and that he is sitting at the right hand of the Holy One. And we embody those faith memories of that Easter morning and everyone since. We have the responsibility to be agents of a hopeful faith, and representatives of our collective Christian heritage. We are that nameless disciple, the one that Jesus loved, who are blessed even though we have not seen, and yet we have believed. Let the resurrection of Jesus change how we look at our lives. Give God the glory now by always looking, hoping, and expecting miracles that open paths for the Holy Spirit to change lives, to transform congregations, communities of faith, and move in the world in mighty new ways. Every time we declare our resurrection faith, the power of the Holy is released to equip, empower, and inspire us to show and tell the hope that lives within us. You and I are called to demonstrate this amazing, incredible, jaw-dropping, powerful, spectacular, dynamic gift of new life in a way that will arouse others to come along. Come along, come and see Jesus. Mary experienced what Paul explains in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of her heart flooded with light, so that she could know and understand the hope to which God has called you and I. His church, his spiritual body on earth. And we have all the proof we need in the words of Scripture and the testimony of such great a cloud of witnesses. a physical appearance of Jesus would not make Jesus any more real to us than he is now. It's a lifelong process, this awakening and claiming of new life inherent in the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is in the awakening that new life brings us here today. This is a new day. We are a new people, and Jesus is calling us by name. Can you hear him? All this has been written so that you might continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you have life by the power of his name. John 20:30. Because I know, and you know, that our Redeemer lives. Amen? Let us pray. The greatest man in history, Jesus, had no servants, yet they called him Master. Had no degree, yet they called him Teacher. Had no medicine, yet they called him Healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. And I am honored to serve such a leader who loves us. And I believe in God and in Jesus Christ, his Son. And I pray that you do also. Have a blessed Easter. Amen.